You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, and welcome back. It's great to have you here for the second half of the program. And Avery Williamson joining us, the former Kentucky linebacker. He was second-team All-SEC in 2013, spent 8 years in the NFL, and look forward to chatting with him right now, talk about a number of things. Avery, thank you for the time. Good afternoon, and how are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing great. It's an honor to be on the show.
Well, we feel the same way. It's always great to catch up with you and talk about your career and what's next for you. I know 8 years in the NFL is a long time, a lot of wear and tear. What's next in your life, and what are you doing now?
I'm just training right now, and just trying to, keep my head on the, on the right path, man. Just trying to stay motivated and just kind of, waiting for a team to give me opportunity. And it's been kind of weird, since COVID came out, and just kind of the new CBA, a lot of things happened, man. So the league has changed a lot, but I'm still working towards getting another shot. I feel like I still got, some years left in me. And just kind of taking a day at a time. But I want to keep getting my practice at this broadcast and stuff so I can, maybe jump into that field as well.
Well, I'll get to that in a second, but I'm curious because, every day we look up and there's another player signed, and this is that time of the year for that, yeah, with the draft coming up. But for someone that has played for his, three teams, has played as long as you have, when you're in limbo, what do you do and how do you stay in shape?
Man, it's definitely tough, to be in limbo, man. I was in that situation last year. You got signed late. And it's definitely tough, to stay motivated at times, but you kind of got to put your head down and continue to work. And, it's definitely tough when you haven't been in that situation before, so it has a lot of stability in the NFL, and just kind of one of those situations, adversity, that is thrown at you, and just kind of you got to just continue to push forward. So it's a lot of guys out there that haven't been signed in the linebacker group, and I feel like I still have the edge. I can go out there and compete, and compete on any team, go out there and start for any team, and just waiting for that shot. And I know that once I get my opportunity, I'm definitely gonna take off and run with it.
Avery, is this the key time, or is it after the draft for that position?
I feel like after the draft, teams kind of get the idea of what they need. Still, if they don't get in the free agency, they'll try to get in the draft. They don't get in the draft, they'll circle back around to, other guys that are still available out there. And so it's kind of like just they're testing out different people to get ready for the season. So there's still a lot of time left, but I think that once teams get through that draft process and, see what the makeup of the team is so far, that's when they'll start to circle back around and, and seeing what talent is still left out there.
Avery Williamson, the former Kentucky linebacker. Let me deviate for 1 second and ask you about the Cats, because they have certainly come a long way in recent years, and many expect even better things ahead. What do you see when you look at that roster and look ahead to the future?
I mean, I'm telling you, I was pulling for these guys. I knew that I felt like they had a lot of adversity against them against Georgia, but Paul, I'm telling you, I mean, it might be a long shot, but they got a chance. They got a chance to get the East, I'm telling you. I don't know when, but they're working towards that. I feel like, you know, they still have a ways to go, but with the talent that, you know, Stoops and Coach Merrill that they're bringing in, I mean, it's phenomenal, you know, to see the remarkable change that they've made since I was there. You know, it's phenomenal, and they're doing a great job. I'm so happy because now I can go in the locker room and I can actually, you know, say have some bragging rights after the games on Saturday. So, you know, guys are kind of scared to wager against me now. it's definitely good to see that they're doing so well though. I'm definitely glad to see, you know, Will Levis say, you know, see the news that he's coming back, and also Chris Rodriguez. You know, those are two big pieces. I feel like with Will Levis coming back, he's going to have a good firm foundation, you know, with the playbook, you know, and also just being a Wildcat. You know, I feel like he did a great job for his first year at Kentucky, and for them, the record that they finished with, you know, was really good. And I see them just continue to build a solid foundation. And, you know, the record that they finished with last year, and, you know, over the last couple of years, I feel like the recruited classes are going to continue to get better. And Kentucky's going to start becoming one of those schools that, you know, is not just a pushover school. And, you know, it's as you can see, it's serious talent that's starting to come to Kentucky now.
Avery, before you go, you mentioned broadcasting, which naturally intrigues all of us here at a network. What interests you about going into broadcasting, and how are you? I mean, I know you're still trying to get a job in the NFL, but what are you doing to try to help yourself launch into broadcasting when your career finally ends?
Well, Paul, honestly, man, I've kind of been thinking about doing broadcasting for a long time. And it's a funny thing that my degree in college is in communications. So, I just honestly just been practicing over the years doing, you know, different types of events and things, doing different media, and just trying to, you know, get my practice live on air, you know, from doing things on ESPN to, you know, even just I did pro day for Kentucky a couple years back. So I feel like the more practice I get, the better I'll get at it. And I'm actually doing the NFL broadcasting boot camp next week in L.A. It's a free course for NFL guys. They pretty much put you through courses to teach you how to speak on TV, what things to do and not to do. So just getting practice, man. And I feel like practice makes perfect. I'm excited about it. You know, I feel like I'm good at it. I'm decent at it. I'm not going to say I'm good, but I feel like I'm decent at it. You know, I love to talk about sports. I love to talk about the game. And, you know, it just kind of is a way to still keep you in the mix with sports, man. And, you know, that's something that I love. So, you know, I'm just going to take off and run with it, you know. And people say I got a face for TV and not radio, so that's good as well. So.
Well, Avery, I wish you hadn't said that because I've heard throughout my entire career I have a face for radio and not for television. But I will tell you this. Hey, listen, I'm just one person here, but I think from what I've heard in this conversation, I think you got a bright future. So stay with it. Come back soon and let us know how the boot camp went. And we really appreciate you making time.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Paul. And a huge fan of yours. Look forward to being back on.
We can't wait. All the best, Avery. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you very much. Avery Williamson played 8 years in the NFL, waiting around now, hoping to get a call. And if not, heading into the broadcasting business. We'll take a short break. We had the commissioner of the SEC on earlier today. We've been up to Minneapolis a couple of times getting ready for the women's Final Four. Brandon Marcello on another find today for Texas A&M, as that best recruiting class ever just got better, if that's even possible. Your phone call's right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. It's great to have all of you here. Brandon Marcello on the coaching carousel and A&M recruiting in a few minutes. More of your phone calls right now. And Hayes is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Hayes.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
I'm good. I've got a quick question. So, obviously, Arch Manning is one of the biggest recruits coming through in the recent history. And I'm a huge Ole Miss fan. And, of course, all fans for the Rebels are holding their breath, hoping he's coming to Ole Miss. But my question for you is, if Nick Saban was about a decade younger, do you think this thing would be over to where he'd be going to Alabama?
I don't know. I mean, Nick Saban, I think, is a factor. But I don't think Arch Manning is sitting around going, will I be playing for Nick Saban at the end of my career? Because even though the speculation never ends, and it's not going to, about Saban because of his age, I don't think it's top of mind right now, because, you know, it's not like Arch Manning's going to be there 5 years. He'll be there 3 years probably.
Right. Well, awesome. That's all I wanted to ask you. Thank you so much. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Rest of your day.
Yeah, you bet. I don't know how to handicap that, and I know that's a nebulous answer, but, you know, certainly I think the, you know, he's going to look at, you know, where do I go that I have the best chance of doing what my two uncles did, being that's be the top quarterback coming out. I don't think anything else really matters. He knows he's going to have a good time no matter where he goes. He's not doing it for the money. The money will be there, so he's doing it because he wants the opportunity. Booker is in New Jersey. Hello, Booker.
Hello, Paul. I've been kind of absent, pulled a muscle a few months ago. I've been kind of hello.
Yeah, so what muscle did you pull that prevented you from calling?
Between my knee and my hip on the right. At 80 years old, I'm trying to ride an inverted bike and pull the muscle. I've been around on a walking stick, something I said I'd never do. But time brings on, that's what happened. I've been really having a good time. I live up here over in northern Jersey. I can almost look out of my 15th-floor window and look over at Jersey City. I've been just watching that, and what a story. I knew Cinderella would eventually come to an end, but that's quite a story. But my concern today, why am I hearing so much, it seems to be furor over the NIL?
Well, you have to understand, Booker, that a lot of people have their minds made up about how college football should be implemented,
right,
and they are not going to change. And I was a little bit gruff earlier, and I didn't mean to be, when somebody said, well, why can't they put it in escrow? Because that's never going to happen. That's already passed.
If you're going to do that, suppose they stop running touchdowns and stop catching passes and stop making baskets. This is 2022. It's not the era now. I've been watching football ever since Frank Gifford and John Arnett played for Southern Cal, and Dick Kazmaier played for Princeton. It's a different age. This is what's happened.
But you know this because of the longevity that you've enjoyed, is a lot of people just will not adapt. And I have friends like that. You have friends. They keep saying, well, it was this way whenever. It doesn't matter. You have to be adaptable. And college sports is different today than it was 6 months ago.
Exactly. So, I mean, things. I'm doing something now that I didn't know 3 years ago. I've been doing my weekly sermon in my dining room,
right?
In my jammies.
Yeah.
And only thing I knew about Zoom 3 years ago was when I saw Zoom in the comic strip when Batman said it when he was taking off.
And yeah, I'd be happy, Booger, if I never did another Zoom, but unfortunately, that's the world we live in. You take care of yourself. I'm gonna have to check out one of your Zoom sermons in your jammies. That will be something new. Bill is up next in California. Hello, Bill.
How you doing?
Very well.
My question is, why does the SEC want to expand and add more teams to our conference?
Well, Bill, the answer is I don't think the SEC wanted to expand. The SEC was put in a position about a year ago, and the commissioner received a call, the same man we just had on the show a few hours ago, and was told that Texas and Oklahoma wanted to join. So let me throw this back at you. You're the commissioner of the SEC. You find out that two of the most valuable properties in the sport want to join your league. You take that question and tell me how you handle it.
Well, hard question.
Don't need to be playing, turning the sermon over here into the Socratic method, but I'm going to, because here's the answer. Whether they wanted them or not, they were faced with this dilemma. If they said no, then a couple of things were going to happen. Either Texas and Oklahoma were going to join one of their competitors, either the Big Ten or the ACC, probably the Big Ten, or they were going to form their own league and put everyone in college football and college athletics on notice. So the SEC, whether they really wanted them or not, and the truth is that Oklahoma had talked to the SEC a couple of years earlier, Texas had not, and they made a business decision. It's as simple as that.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering because I'm a diehard SEC fan, and I just hate to, break up that camaraderie and, between the teams in the SEC right now.
Well, Bill, but in 20, let's see, how many years is it? It's a 20, in 28, in the last 28 years, the SEC has taken in four new teams. It takes a while. I mean, there was a long time that we were struggling to remember that Arkansas and South Carolina had joined. And then 10 years ago, we saw Missouri and Texas A&M because, I mean, if you're a veteran of this league of 30, 40, 50 years, those are all new entities. But I think it was going to change anyway. The SEC needed a better way of handling the games. And we are right now right at, 2 months away from what I think will be some of the most interesting meetings the SEC has ever had. Those are the spring meetings in Destin, which we will be down there doing our show. And it's going to be a hot topic about how is it going to look when Texas and Oklahoma enter the league. What I mean by that is, are we going to have divisions? Probably not. Almost certainly not. And then what will we have? And if you're Alabama or Arkansas or Auburn, who are your regular opponents going to be, and how will the rest of it function? It's a fascinating moment in time. Clark is in Georgia. Hello, Clark.
Hey, Paul. I'm actually the roommate of the Arkansas fan, Jonathan, that called in last week.
Right.
I just want to say, imagine being an Arkansas fan at that Duke game. They got crushed all game, and then Musselman complained about the refs. What do you think about that game, Paul, overall? Because I thought it was kind of pathetic myself.
Clark, I didn't get too hung up on it. I didn't think Arkansas was going to beat Gonzaga, and I certainly didn't think they were going to beat Duke. And it wasn't particularly close. What coaches say after the game is of no interest to me, especially if they're no longer in the tournament. We're up against a break. We have an important guest coming in a minute, Brandon Marcello, to talk about the big picture of college athletics, and then more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back on a Friday afternoon, and Brandon Marcello joining us from 24/7. So much to talk to him about. His latest looking into the state of college athletics and football, coaching turnover versus the NIL. And Brandon comes up with some pretty interesting results, considering all we do is talk about NIL as if the whole sport is coming undone with that in the transfer portal, especially the transfer portal. Brandon, you discovered that there's a lot more movement in the coaching than there is in the portal.
Yeah, for all the coaches who just hate the transfer portal and say it's the end of college football, well, the coaches move around more than the players. Doing the research, discovered that 40% of coaching staffs turned over this offseason compared to 5.6% of rosters via the transfer portal. So coaches were moving around eight times as much in frequency than the players, and that's just so far. There's still some coaching staffs that have yet to be solidified. So, listen, college football is crazy in the off season, but the coaching carousel, while we do pay attention because we're always looking for those big names, those interesting hires, those coaches are also looking for new places to land too.
And, Brandon, the coaches all want to blame the players. You've talked to a number of them. Hey, they're you know, these agents are out there. Everybody's trying to steal my players. But you just laid it out. They're creating some of the pressure, are they not?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a give and take. To act like that there's one side that's right and one side's wrong and there's one way to do it, that's incompletely true. I mean, coaches, I mean, listen, like a lot of people who run a business or run a team, they want to always try to be in control. And that's why they're coaches. They try to lead teams. They try to lead young men and women. But they're also looking out for themselves at times. And not to say all coaches are always out for money or anything like that. I'm not saying that. It's just that the nature of the business, sometimes it's out of the control of the coaches, is that turnover happens. Change happens. Coaches get fired. Coaches get replaced. And to act like that players don't deserve the opportunity to do the same in a free market, which obviously we're moving toward with NIL and more coming on the horizon, is kind of ludicrous. But it goes to show that forever, really, college coaches have been moving and coming and going, as we know, but with as much frequency as we're seeing right now, the transfer portal is the least of the concerns when it comes to just college football changing year to year.
Still, coaches are doing a lot of complaining publicly. Many are even more animated privately. I say that because something has to give here somewhere. We had Sankey on earlier, and they're having a committee looking into all of this. Wherever that goes, we do not know. So if you had to guess, what do you think or where will the tweaks be, assuming there are any in relation to the portal?
I believe from talking to people that really the only tweaks that can be made of the transfer portal is just to kind of figure out and put some guardrails around the calendar. You know, the way it is situated now where players are just coming and going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that's kind of got to go away. And a lot of the ideas I hear from coaches are rational in the sense that let's just set aside a couple of months after each semester, as far as the two main semesters, the fall and the spring, and let that be the open portal time. Because otherwise, of course, the coaches are busy. We all know that. And they have to keep their eyes on the transfer portal at all times. Heck, they've hired people just to refresh that database every day. But there does need to be probably some guardrails put in place because what you're seeing – are some unintended consequences. One, it's a lot more work. It's a lot more hectic with rosters. And that's just not something that bothers the coaches. It bothers the players, too, because you don't know one week to the next who's going to be on your team, who's going to be in your locker room. But also, some of these players, I've heard stories from players who enter the portal after like 3 or 4 weeks in the season or even an off season, and they realize they made a mistake, that they want to go back. And sometimes these coaches just won't take them back because, listen, the team has moved on. They've missed too much time, and or the team has already promised their spot to someone else that's coming in. So you got to put some type of some clear guardrails into this, a clear calendar that's not just a free-for-all at all times. You can't put the genie back in the bottle from the standpoint of saying players can't be immediately eligible. I think that time has come and passed. Let them be eligible. Coaches are able to move around and do what they want to do, but rarely do you see coaches coming and going during a season, which obviously can be an issue for anybody in any job. So I think that at this point, the easy solution, which will still be difficult, is developing a calendar for the portal.
And Brandon, we're talking to Brandon Marcello, the coach who's probably created the most controversy with the portal and primarily NIL is Jimbo Fisher. He received another player today, a five-star, that adds to, if I'm reading this correctly, their most recent class, which was already maybe the best ever. Before we get to the issue about what people are saying about him, how do you characterize, or your experts or your group characterize this recruiting class they just had?
It's the best ever. It's the best we've ever seen at 24/7 Sports. And the rich got richer today with Overton committing to them. Never in history have we seen 4 or 5-star defensive linemen go to the same school. And, of course, their overall recruiting rankings out of this world. And to me, I wrote a column earlier today about how, listen, championships are won in the trenches. Great defensive lines have won the playoff year after year. And while the quarterbacks, these amazing receivers we've seen over the years, get a lot of the attention, usually the players that shine and win the championships for these teams are the defensive lines. And we see it the last 2 years with Alabama and Georgia, and that's not changing. Just look at the recruiting classes this year. You've got Texas A&M, as I just mentioned. They got 4 of the top 6 defensive linemen in the country coming in, and then 11 of the top 14 nationally. They're all going to get this, surprise, surprise, Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M. And those three teams are going to be the ones contending for national championships over these next 4 years. And if you're not getting those elite defensive linemen in the trenches, you're just not going to win national championships in this day and age. And listen, the SEC, as we've seen, they're dominant for a reason. They get the big guys up in the trenches just as much as they get those elite quarterbacks. And when it comes crunch time, you need people that can get to the quarterback and wreak havoc. Georgia's able to do that. Alabama's able to do that over the years. And now we're seeing Texas A&M build a roster that they believe can do that as well. Because not just this past offseason in this recruiting class has Texas A&M been building toward this. They've got another 5-star kid who's now a redshirt freshman there at A&M that's going to be joining this group as well this upcoming season and in seasons to come. They are set in the trenches at Texas A&M, and they've got the type of roster to compete for a national championship.
It has been a while since anyone that we saw coming challenged Nick Saban. Certainly LSU came out of the I don't mean nowhere, that but it seemed like nowhere when they won the national championship. But you know, let's start doing the calculus here on the next couple of years as we fixate on Alabama and Georgia. But is the new battle really going to be Alabama and Texas A&M?
I think so. I don't think it's this year. I think, in fact, people are going to be a little bit disappointed and be questioning, like, is Texas A&M really going to be challenging for a national championship in the SEC after this year? They might still be like an 8-win team this upcoming season. But in 23 and 24, this roster, not only is it loaded right now, but it's going to be developed. These guys still got to get in the weight room, especially in the trenches, and get developed in this system. But in 2023 and 24, Texas A&M is going to be as stacked as any team in the country, including Alabama and Georgia. And that's when you'll see that breakthrough, or at least you should, with proper development. And again, Paul, I've said on your show, if Texas A&M does not play for a national championship in these next 4 years, it's an absolute bust and it's an absolute disappointment. Every 24/7 Sports composite class that finished number one in the rankings since 2011 have gone on to play or win a national championship. Simply put, A&M is on the clock, and if Jimbo Fisher doesn't win a national championship in the next 4 years, it's a disappointment. And here's the other thing. I think Jimbo Fisher realizes that, and they're welcoming that pressure. They're welcoming all these questions about them actually being able to compete for it. Can they follow through? Because you'd rather have people talking about you potentially failing or succeeding than not. And boy, A&M is the hot topic this offseason.
Yeah, disappointment, I might add, disaster, because the Aggies are not going to put up with run-of-the-mill teams with this type of roster. Now, keeping the roster is another question. Brandon, thank you for continuing to put the heat on. We will make sure you are quoted accurately. Great to have you here, Brandon Marcello from 24/7. And there's no getting around what he said about Jimbo Fisher. Everyone knows it, and now it's time to deliver. We'll talk about that and more subjects when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Kenny is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Kenny. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good to hear from you, and I love your show, man. I watch it as much as I can.
Thank you.
You know, and I was telling one of the guys, I just like to know where you get some of these knuckleheads that call into your show, man.
Anyone in particular you're referring to?
One of them's from Alabama. I remember that.
Well, they're all from Alabama.
probably. It's probably true. But, man, I was coming home from bowling, and I was listening to that, and I'm like, man, where do you get these knuckleheads that call in on the show? I mean, it's just amazing some of the stuff they say. But getting back to the real stuff, thank you for the show you have and what you show us on sports. It's great to have you. I want to get to LSU. What do you think is going to happen with their program in basketball? Man, that's a sad, sad situation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be devastated. Quite frankly, they should have never stayed with Will Wade this long. They should have cut their losses and taken the chance. And now this new guy, it will take him years to build it up. For those who missed it earlier, the roster has been decimated. He'll end up getting a bunch of players probably from where he used to be at Murray and try to, pick off a couple of players here and there. But I think the product's going to be pretty weak, especially when we don't even know what the sanctions are going to be. And the sanctions very likely could restrict postseason, which is a killer. Thank you for the call. Jeff is up next in Columbus, Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Hello, Jeff.
How you been?
Jeff, I have been great. I appreciate you asking about that.
Hey, I had to pull off to the side of the road, Paul, driving home after a long day at work and get my hip waders out of the trunk and put them on because you've got so much BS you're talking about with this SEC Texas-Oklahoma deal now. I had to put my hip waders on, Paul.
I just told the truth, Jeff.
I mean, are you, first of all, back when it happened, you were the only national voice to college football. National was got quote-unquote around it because you know where the bias lies. That was basically saying that the SEC didn't do some backdoor, behind-the-scenes negotiations to pull them in. Everybody else in the country and every media expert.
Well, you know what, Jeff? If I could jump in here for a second, I don't give two rips what anyone else says. I had pretty good information on what went down. I expressed that. So if some guy down the dial at some other channel calls me out, good for him.
But
I know what the truth is, and the truth is exactly what I have expressed on this program.
Okay, but you're telling me today, or you're trying to convince these people today, that basically the SEC was the white knight and saved college football.
No, I didn't say that. You're completely distorting what I said. What I said was pretty obvious that the SEC had a choice. They got a call. You want Texas and Oklahoma? If you say yes, fine. If you say no, they'll go somewhere else. And then do you want that?
No, and then you said they're going to start their own league and basically ruin college football, so the SEC...
No, I said that was one of the... Jeff, you're distorting everything. You're like one of these political hacks on one of these networks.
No, I'm not.
I have a pretty good understanding of what I say and what I disseminate, and you're lying when you accuse me of saying that. That was part of the story.
I'm not lying.
That was a supposition that some people... Jeff, I'm not going to argue with you. If you're going to let me finish my answer, I'll do it. I said that was a possibility that if they didn't take them, they could either go elsewhere or possibly start their own league.
Who was going to – that's the first time I've ever heard about starting
Well, it's the
league.
First time I've ever said that.
Who was going to join them? Who was going to join them? Nobody would trust them.
That's a complete misstatement there. But anyway, it doesn't matter because they joined the SEC.
Where did you hear this, that they're going to start their own league?
For one of the few times I cannot reveal where I heard that.
It's probably that henchman you got sitting beside you with that apron.
No, it's probably a lot better source than you picked up today on a construction site.
No, I listened to your radio show and had to pull off because I thought my car was going to get stuck in all the...
Well, first of all, we don't allow cursing on the air. And second of all, thank you. That's the only reason we hung up. Otherwise, he could have continued pontificating for as long as he wants. But once you go over a certain line and use certain words, we are automatically required to hang up. That's the explanation there. Let's continue with more phone calls here. Kevin is in Birmingham. Hello, Kevin.
Paul, how you doing, brother?
I am doing great.
Man, you are a star here. We're up here at the restaurant. You are the show in town. Everybody's here watching you.
Well, hold on, Kevin. Where are you?
We're at the Buffaloes, man, and you're on television, and there's no music going on. It's all you, brother.
I appreciate that.
You're the main man.
Thank you.
So listen, my question is, Coach Jumbo Fisher, he has done it again, the greatest recruiting class in the history of college football, and on April Fool's Day, the joke's on us, he got another five-star.
He sure did.
And to hear Jimbo tell it, it's all because of the charisma of his coaching staff. What I'm worried about, how in the world is the rest of the SEC going to catch up with this guy? What do we got to do?
Well, remember something, Kevin. I don't believe Alabama, Georgia, or others were really quite prepared for what Jimbo Fisher did this year and how he did it. And I'm just simply saying that using the system how he did, they are prepared now. I think you'll see a different game going on in the next recruiting cycle.
I am hoping and praying because whatever he's doing, we need to figure it out pretty quick.
Well, what he has done, he has figured out a way to maximize the legality of buying players. Now, I know that sounds harsh. I don't think he is buying players, but
last time somebody said it, he got real butthurt about that. Now,
well, somebody accused him directly of it. I'm just simply saying he's used the system. And by the way, Jimbo was right here a couple of months ago saying, you know, what's going on now is now legal. It wasn't legal a couple of months ago. I don't think he's been dishonest. I just think he's been able to manipulate the system effectively.
I got you. Hey, well, all said and done, we have got to figure out how to catch up with these guys because that recruiting class is ridiculous. They are absolutely loaded.
Well, I'll say this to you. That's a problem because when you put, especially what Marcelo said, when you put a defensive line group together like that, it's usually spells national championship. We'll take a break. We have an hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.